If you would, we can start, turn over your prayer list. I put this together just, I'd like to keep maybe building on it week by week so we have something here, just to try to remember these and have something to remember them by. And so we see the kings of Israel and we see a little bit of the stuff we've went over. We probably won't get through all of down to Omri tonight. We'll probably just go until 8 o'clock and then and call it good. But what we do see here, and Dave was talking to me earlier about the split, and the northern kingdom was called Israel. They kept the name Israel because Israel was the name given to them because that was Jacob's name, right? Jacob had the 12 sons, and so they were all the tribes of Israel, or the tribes of Jacob. And so he kept all those 12 tribes, the name Israel. And so when Judah and Israel broke, the one with the 10 tribes, they kept the name because they were, it'd be like we talked about if Texas would fight against the United States and separate, we would still be called the United States and they'd be called Texas. And so Judah changed its name to the tribe of Judah. I didn't change it, but it was just known as Judah, and Israel was Israel then. And one thing, looking this week through these kings, I didn't understand was when we look at 1 and 2 Kings, the books of 1 and 2 Kings, that gives us the kings of Judah and Israel, the southern and northern kingdom. It goes back and forth, and it's you got to keep in your mind who it's talking about, the south or the north. But when you go to 1 and 2 Chronicles, that's all Judah. So it doesn't talk about the northern kingdom. It'll say like King Baasha came down and fought against, but it's always going through just the kings of the south, just Judah. And so that's something, maybe you knew that, but it was new to me because I go back and forth and always compare Kings and Chronicles. But this week, looking at the northern kingdom, their kings, there's nothing in there on Chronicles, in the 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's just from Judah. And we know that, I mean, God promised that the scepter would not depart from the tribe of Judah until Shiloh come, until Jesus Christ would come. And so God was going to come through the house of Jesse and David. And so it was through Judah all along that God was keeping His promise and His covenant. And Israel broke away from that. And so when we look at Israel's kings, not one of those kings did good in the sight of the Lord either. And so we're going to look at Israel's, some kings of them tonight. And we know the first king of Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, was named who? Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Nebat. So he was the first king. And did he do good? No, he set the precedent for what they would all do. And all of them were compared back to him usually. Says he did, he was the man who caused Israel to sin, is what he's known as. Jeroboam, the man who caused Israel to sin. And how did he cause them to sin? Let's start there again, 1 Kings chapter 12. Because I talked with Ashley about this. You guys seem like you remember all this stuff, and you know all these things, but from week to week, like especially after vacation, I mean, I had to remind myself, all right, what was all this stuff? So maybe this is just for me, but we'll go over Jeroboam again and what his sin was when they say he caused Israel to sin. So Jeroboam, in 1 Kings 12, verse 25, this is what Jeroboam did, because he was prophesied that he would become king. That is, his sin wasn't that he broke away from Rehoboam. That was because of Solomon's sin. So God allowed Jeroboam to break away, but here is Jeroboam's sin. Verse 25 of chapter 12 of 1 Kings. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. So he was worried that they would go to the house of David, even though God had prophesied that he'd be king up here. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So he's worried about himself, and he's worried that they're going to go to Jerusalem to, because they had to. That's where God said to go for the Passover, to go do their sacrifices once a year. So he took, in verse 28, he took counsel, and he made two calves of gold and said to them, said to the nation, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he set up two golden calves and said, those were the gods. He set one in Bethel and one in Dan, and it became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places. So now he's worshiping other false gods in high places. He made priests of the lowest people, which were not the sons of Levi. I mean, he just started making his own religion. So hopefully this kind of rings a bell to where Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. He set up his own little religion. These calves, his own priests, his own holy places, then his high places. He ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day, like the feast in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. He just made up this month, made this holy day. God didn't tell him to do it. And he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So that's Jeroboam. That's the sin wherewith he called Israel, caused Israel to sin. And so what we look at in Israel is, did these any of these kings, you know, they knew that was wrong, or if they knew the word of God, they knew it was wrong. Did any of them put an end to this stuff? So that's where we're going to go today. Let's go to 1 Kings 14. We're going to start with Jeroboam. He reigned a long time in Israel. Jeroboam, or 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 7. We've looked at this before as well, but let's look at it again. This is the prophet Ahijah who is prophesying about Jeroboam. Jeroboam's wife is coming to Ahijah because of their son who is sick. But Ahijah the prophet says in verse 7, chapter 14, verse 7, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel," see, God made him the prince. God allowed him to do that. "And rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and hast cast me behind thy back." There we see again the sin of Jeroboam that caused Israel to sin. Molten images, all these things. "Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone." So there was going to be no males left in the house of Jeroboam. This was what God said. "There will no longer, all of your men in your house and your lineage are going to die. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord has spoken it." Now, if somebody dies nowadays, are they going to be eaten in the fields or in the streets? No, because we're going to bury them. So this is saying they're not going to be buried. And the Jews, Israel, they like to bury their own. So this is a bad death to be eaten in the streets, to not be buried. But that's what God said is going to happen to his family because of all the sin he did. "Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, thy child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him." So this son of Jeroboam that was sick, he was going to be buried. "For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." So this one sick boy of Jeroboam's was the only one that was going to be buried. He's the only one that God found some good thing in toward the Lord God. "Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day." But what? "Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin." So this is the prophecy about Jeroboam, that first king of Israel. He's saying, your house is going to be, you know, very soon, even now, is going to be cut off. And then Israel is going to be scattered, and that happens still hundreds of years later. But it's all because of the sins of Jeroboam. God knew that there was going to be no king in the whole line of Israel that was going to turn away from what Jeroboam did. They kept this false religion that he set up the whole way through. So that's Ahijah's prophecy saying, your family's going to be killed. I'm going to raise up another king that's not obviously in his family. And so we come to the fulfillment of that. 1 Kings 15, verse 25. So Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, made his own religion. He's the one that caused Israel to sin. And now it's prophesied what's going to happen. Let's see it happen now. Verse 25. Chapter 15, verse 25. "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. So Jeroboam died, and now his son Nadab took over for 2 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So this son of his, in the 2 short years he was there, he kept going in the way that Jeroboam caused them to sin. He kept having their priests, their gods, their sacrifices, their holy days. This is what happened then. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, this is a different than Ahijah the prophet. This is another man, Baasha, who's the son of some out of the tribe of Issachar. Baasha conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. For Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. So Nadab evidently was up with Israel, and they were going against the Philistines up here. And at that place, Baasha went and killed Nadab. Even in the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. Now Baasha was not of Jeroboam's family. Jeroboam had himself and his son Nadab for 2 short years. He was killed. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. So we've seen the prophecy, and now we see it fulfilled by Baasha. He killed every one of Jeroboam's family because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin by his provocation wherewith he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. So, that's Nadab. Very short reign after Jeroboam. We see the fulfilled prophecy that Ahijah the prophet gave. And we see the fulfillment when Baasha came, killed Nadab, then went back and began to reign and killed the rest of his family. And what we're going to see in this northern kingdom is a country, this group, that they knew the truth, but they turned away from it. I mean, these people, especially this first generation, they knew what they had been doing under Solomon and Rehoboam. But they followed this religion of Jeroboam and Nadab. And the turmoil that's in this northern kingdom, as we'll see, and tonight we would go through more, but I think we'll stop there. The turmoil is just, I mean, it's this family's reigning, somebody comes and kills them. Then they're reigning for a little bit, somebody comes and kills them. I mean, just death, bloodshed. Never any good rulers. Always different dynasties that are ruling. Because it's without God. When we look at Judah, the southern kingdom, that lineage passes all the way down. There's some bad kings in there, but then there's a good one. Then bad, then good. But there's no assassinating one other king. So though they weren't always perfect kings, they didn't sin in the way that Israel did. They knew right and made false gods, just totally went the other way. And you see the difference between the two countries in the way that their kings came to power. So that's the short reign of Nadab. And really, it says 2 years, but the way that the Jews count years, if you're a part of the year in 1 year and a part of the year in another, that's 2 years. So like for us, if somebody reigned in the fall of 2010 till the spring of 2011, it might be 6 months, but they would count that as 2 years. And so when we look at some of the things about Asa's reign, we know it was a short 2 years that Nadab reigned. And now we got a new king, Baasha. And so he's got a chance to do good. But we're going to see he returns to the same stuff. And so we'll start with Baasha next week. And go down and see how far we can get there in the northern kingdom. Then, I mean, what I could take from this is that when we're apart from God, I mean, life can be total turmoil. Especially when we know the truth and we turn away from God. I mean, God can chastise us. God can have these things happen, wanting us to turn back. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in our lives, if we are straying, God is going to chastise us to bring us back. But we don't want to get to this point. We're going to follow after Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for being able to pray and being able to come before you. And Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us. And I ask your blessing on each of us as we go out of here tonight. Lord, I ask that you keep us safe on the highways, on the roads. That you help our vehicles to get home. And you help us each to do your will tomorrow. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.